Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. We have a very timely topic today that I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Alveda King. It has to do with the wall on the southern border, which is dominating the news. In fact, it's been dominating the news for a long time, all the way back to the Ronald Reagan administration. There was a lot about illegal immigration and immigration reform and promises to build a wall, and some of the wall's been built. And now it's become almost a stalemate in Washington. Dr. King has a very unique perspective, and she recently did an article for Newsmax, which caught my attention, and I asked her if she would do a podcast. So let me welcome you. Thank you for being with me on my podcast, and share with my listeners why African Americans are supporting the wall.
Steve, thank you for this opportunity to share this information. And I was joined by some of my sister and fellow African Americans who agreed with my perspective. And that is, we certainly are a compassionate nation. We care about the souls of America, just as President Trump is saying now. However, without the order that is required to help and assist and to serve the immigrants, they are suffering. The other part of that is the job market and all of that is recovering. It's rebounding, and people across the border are hearing that and believing they should come here for these same opportunities. But we are still building here. And so in order to help, we are going to have to be very secure and steady in what we're doing. There has to be a process. We welcome immigrants to America, absolutely, but there is a process, and the president is working on that process. Several of my friends joined me in my op-ed or blog and said pretty much the same thing. Interestingly, there is a clip going around now with President Obama saying that we needed to put politics aside and to stop the flood of immigrants into the country. And so it would seem to have been okay to everybody when President Obama said it. But when President Trump says this, we get all of this pushback.
Why do you think there's so much animosity against Donald Trump as a person?
Steve, you know, I really don't take this into a political discussion as a Christian evangelist. I see it this way. Ezra and Nehemiah were building a wall. Ezra was there more as a scribe and Nehemiah as an architect. And they had Sanballat and Tobias and the naysayers come down off the wall. Don't build a wall. Come down. Talk to us and let's discuss. Nehemiah, by the Spirit of God, knew that he couldn't come down off that wall or it wouldn't happen. And that is what we are seeing here. And all of the talk from the naysayers, I call them, well, just go ahead and put everybody back to work and we'll just discuss it. Well, they would drag that thing out forever, and that's true. And meanwhile, what is just so disturbing but not hopeless, we are finding that some of the immigrants, when they're coming across, the little children are malnourished and ill. Some of the young ladies, the young women, and some of the young men have been physically abused and assaulted, even sexually. And so there are so many things that are happening. And actually, the drug cartel is advertising. Give us some money, we'll get you across. But no, they are really doing that to profiteer with the drug market. So all of these things are happening, and we even have some evidence that some of the little children are not even the children of the families that they're with. They are renting the children to look as though they're families to help the cartel get the people across the border. So there has to be a semblance, well, more than a semblance, you know. The law enforcement people are asking, the medical people are asking the president, please, we've got to have this regulatory system and process. So President Trump is not the only person building this wall. Steve, I had a cute little, well, I thought it was cute, but I had a little meme that went with the blog, but it's not really showing up in the stories, that the children are a gift from God, Psalm 127, but it says, unless the Lord builds a house, then they labor in vain unless the Lord watches the city. And then the other part was Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, and he says, look, Jerusalem is a wreck. We've got to have a wall. So I put those two scriptures together in a little meme as well. So just in context, and for those who say there has to be another way, this is the 21st century, the walls are archaic. Well, wheels were built back then too, and people are still using wheels. I don't hear anybody arguing about wheels. So the wall is a good and viable concept.
Well, I agree with you. And like you, I've traveled all over the world. And when I travel, I have to take my passport to get in. I can't just walk in. Some places you have to get a visa ahead of time. I remember I went to one country in Central America and my passport was valid, but it was going to run out in like maybe 3 months. I was only going to stay 4 or 5 days. Well, they wouldn't let me in without a brand new passport. I had to get a new passport.
Wow.
And the reason, I asked somebody, I said, why? And they said, because when you get in with the passport, you can stay legally 6 months. And so,
wow,
you know, by the time I stayed there legally for 6 months, which they, I guess, assumed I would do or at least had the right to do, my passport would be expired. So they were that nitpicky. And of course, I, you know, I complied with the rules. You know, I don't have to deal with that very much, except to know that I've even been in communist China. I was in Russia before the fall of communism and after. And always in those settings, I had to have a visa. I had to go in. They had all this paperwork. They checked you when you went out. You couldn't just walk across the border. And yet, so many people have done it for so long that some people think that they ought to be able to cross, like, from Florida to Georgia. Well, you know, we're a great country that was built so that we could travel freely among states. You know, state actually means nation, or at least it did originally. But of course, our United States, we can pass freely. And in Europe, with the European Union, they can do it. But even there, they have rules and regulations. And there's ways we want to invite people in. And I understand that there's about 1 million people a year who come here legally. What other country in the world takes 1 million people legally? I don't know.
That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth.
And all we're saying is that these people need to come in legally. Apparently, they either don't know how or they don't think they can come in legally for some reason. And so,
or they've been lied to and fooled by the cartel who says, oh, we'll get your papers, everything. Just give us somebody. Come on, we'll get you over. And they feel as though they're doing something that's proper, and they've been duped and deceived as well. So all of this is going on. It's really, it's just inhumane to keep having the cartel trick people like this. So we've got to do something. And I really do stand with the president. And one thing about it, because he really can call it a state of emergency, because it is, and President Obama actually used those actual words when he was president, but the president is continuing with the negotiations and the conversations with Congress. And we have to regard that as well.
Well, as we wrap up this and deal with this very timely topic, I want to mention two other things. One is the March for Life, which you're involved with, which is coming up soon, and also the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Just share your thoughts on those.
Well, at the March for Life, I'll be leading prayer. Happy to do that, and marching. I don't march every year, but I think I will be walking this year. I'll be joining the Silent No More Awareness campaign, giving my testimony after the march. I will be joining some leaders from the African American and other communities. Also, at a beautiful prayer rally, I'll be with the Frederick Douglass Foundation then as well. So those are the activities. And I believe the Roe v. Wade movie, where I'm an executive producer on the project, we should be releasing our trailer during that time, during the March for Life time as well. With the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, I released a remix of my song, Let Freedom Ring, this year. And we will be playing that song, Let Freedom Ring. As a matter of fact, I'll try to get that over to you so that you'll have it as well. Because the focus on it is to thank God that King had a dream. And so we have to focus on God. Martin Luther King Jr. did during his lifetime, for the listeners and the viewers who don't know, Martin Luther King Jr. is my uncle. He lives in heaven with my daddy, his brother, Reverend A.D. King. And so that is how I'm related to Martin Luther King Jr. through Daddy and Mama King. So we're going to be thanking God during the holidays.
Yeah. I want to invite you back to do another podcast. In fact, perhaps we could run it on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And it just occurred to me that he would have been 90 years old this year. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? Absolutely. Yes.
And how history would have been different had he not been assassinated? I personally believe that he would have been the first African-American president. You know, I mean, just so much heartbreak has come as a result of that horrendous historic event. And
but a lot of promise and a lot of hope, because his message of love still resonates. That's that eternal message of Christ. And then the message that he got from Gandhi as far as the message, the nonviolence. Those are part of the legacy that we have, and God's love is eternal, of course. So.
And that is so important. So thank you for sharing this. We'll look forward to a follow-up podcast. Perhaps we can also talk about a couple of the books you've written, including King Rules.
And King Truth. That's
and King Truth, the newest one, yes. So thank you, and also thank you on a personal basis for your friendship, which has resulted in you giving me personal tours of the King Center and, of course, working together in so many ways.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and God bless you. And I'll be back with a follow-up, a message for my listeners after this.
Thank you.
If the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake, his accomplishments since are the aftershocks no one saw coming. From best-selling author Stephen E. Strang comes Trump Aftershock, the seismic impact on culture and faith in America. Trump Aftershock offers unique insights that will cut through the media noise and reveal what they won't tell you. Gain a better understanding of the political, emotional, and spiritual dimensions at work in Trump Aftershock. Available where fine books are sold.
This is Stephen Strang. I'm back in the studio, and I just wanted to add something for my listeners to let you know that we're trying to do some exciting new things with my Strang Report podcast. The first is that we're setting up a system so that you can call in your questions and I can answer them on the air almost as if it was a live call-in show. We'll be telling you more about that. The other is that on Fridays, we're going to have a different format. It's going to be called In Depth with Stephen Strang, and it is where I interview someone famous and important and interesting, of course, in depth about a matter that is interesting to you. I've actually done the first 5 shows, and I'll just give you a little sneak preview that one of the first interviews I did was with Pat Robertson, who, of course, is very, very well known. But, you know, he was involved in the early days of the charismatic movement. In fact, in some ways, CBN kind of grew out of that. And he tells some stories. In fact, I just listened to it this week again about how he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how Harold Bredesen was so involved with some of the things that were going on and influenced Norman Vincent Peale and his wife, Ruth Peale, which resulted in some things with Guideposts, which resulted in John Sherrill writing They Speak in Other Tongues and a couple of other books, which resulted in an outbreak of the Holy Spirit in different ways. It was just so interesting, and also to talk about his father, who is a U.S. senator, and things that are not hidden, they're public, but they're not widely known. And I was able to, in this interview, to just go in depth. I won't tell you about some of the other interviews right now, but I just wanted to start building a little interest. We are actually in the process of publicizing it and deciding when it's going to be released in just the next few weeks. And with that, I'll thank you for listening to The Strang Report. God bless you. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.